Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be here with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. I hope you enjoy listening to Pastor Lutz. I was glad to be able to fill in for him last week. Thank you for that opportunity there, and I hope you'll stay tuned for Pastor Rusnacko coming on at 2 as well. But in the meanwhile, you've got me, and we're going to look at a couple of things here and to talk about some things that are happening in the country around us, but I want to welcome you to the program today, and let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come together today. We just pray that you would bless the program this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We do pray that you would help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you in all things that we give you the glory and the honor for it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And I was just looking, you know, one of the things... I don't like everything that Facebook has, but we have a Facebook page, and I was just looking at my thing. It said last year, a year ago today, it was minus 14 degrees in the morning. We had one of those polar vortexes last year, and what a difference a year makes. I was just talking Wednesday night, after our Wednesday night prayer time, and we were talking about the weather and the temperatures, and other than the extreme frigid weather that we had back around Christmas time, we've really been pretty fortunate this winter. The temperatures, we've had a lot of mild temperatures, and I know because when I go out of my backyard has just been nothing but mud, and even the snow on top of it right now, underneath it, the ground is still soft. You can feel the ground squishing and shifting under your feet when you walk out there. But at the same time, it's a lot nicer than minus 14 like it was last year. And then, of course, we're in the couple of days that back in 1978, I believe it was the blizzard. And if you were around back then, you probably remember that well. 1978, the highways were shut down, drifts 20, 25 feet tall, and I still remember an entire tractor trailer rig was covered with snow. I believe it was somewhere down around 70 on Interstate 71, headed down toward Mansfield, Ashland, somewhere down that way, I think it was, and they were completely snow-covered so much that nobody knew they were there. And he was found because the exhaust from his truck had went straight up, and it was poking up through the snow at the top, and somebody was walking on the snow and saw this exhaust sticking up out of the snow, and he was in there. He was able to run his engine enough to stay warm, and they were able to dig him out. I can remember them taking different pieces of heavy equipment to open up our road. I'm trying to think if that's the year they bulldozed the road. We had several winters in a row there, 77, 78, 79 time frame, where the weather was so bad, everybody was talking about the coming ice age. And if you want a real treat, go online and do a search for Leonard Nimoy, The Coming Ice Age. And I said do a search for, it was called In Search Of, I believe was the program. And he shows clips of some of those blizzards, and it talks about how the ice age is upon us, and probably, you know, even if we cut back on our fossil fuel consumption and raise taxes on energy and stop driving our cars as much, basically everything they're talking about today that they want you to do, we may be able to reduce the effects, but it may be too late because the ice age may have already begun, and they're all, you know, trying to make everybody panic over the coming ice age. Well, it didn't work out so well, so they They got rid of the ice age and they shelved it because we had a series of mild winters that came in the 80s. So they said, oh, it's not an ice age now, it's global warming now, and the ice caps are going to melt. So in the 1970s, the ice caps were going to grow and cover us up with a mile of ice. And then in the 1980s, they were going to melt and flood us with a mile of water, I guess. But whatever the case was, the solution was always the same. You gotta make these sacrifices and raise taxes on everything and not drive as much and not heat your house as much and not cool your house as much in the summer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we might be able to maybe get through it, but it's probably already too late. Well, the global warming didn't work real well either, so they went to climate change. And then, of course, we just had the spectacle there in Davos just recently, earlier this month, where all the elites led by John Kerry, reporting for duty, said that they were going to save the planet. In fact, John Kerry had remarked about how it was so remarkable that here all of us special people are gathered together here so we can talk about saving the planet. He said it was almost extraterrestrial. Well, at any rate, seed time and harvest, the Bible says we're going to continue to have. And we know that eventually there is a global warming that will take place. And the Bible talks about that, says that one day that God, and this is going to be, of course, after the tribulation period, after the millennial reign of Christ, after all of these things, there's coming a time where Peter writes here in 2 Peter and chapter number 3, he says this. He says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and all, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And when you look at this, talking about a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come after this, in fact, he says here in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And of course, he's talking about the ultimate end of what we're going to see of this present world. And this present world that is so corrupted and tainted with sin and so much in rejection of God and rejection of his word, rejection of his truth. And people determined, like John Kerry and that group in Davos, they are going to be as gods. One of the guys there, I forget to who it was talking about we need to get rid of essentially the biblical God and basically replace it with themselves. That's really, get right down to it, because they have bought the lie that devil told Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 when he said, ye shall be as gods. That's what they really believe. But, you know, think about this. The world and everything that's in it, and I'm going to talk about some things here, sharing how people reject God here in a moment, but, the elements, the heavens themselves on fire, the elements melting with a fervent heat. You ever wonder how that could happen? Well, there's an interesting thing in physics. I believe it's the strong nuclear force that they believe holds the nucleus of an atom together. And they don't really know what it is. They don't know why it is. They know something keeps it together. And as a consequence, they call it the nuclear force, and it's strong because anybody's ever played with magnets, you know, if you take the positive ends of the magnet and you put them together, what happens? They fly apart, don't they? And you put the negative ends together, they fly apart. You put the positive and the negative ends together, they come together and they stick nicely. Or you can call it the North and the South Poles. That's another way that you refer to it. You put the North Poles together and they fly apart. You put the South Poles together, they fly apart. Put the North Pole and the South Pole together and they stick together nicely. And opposites attract in that, and like repels. You ever think about this? The nucleus of an atom is the densest part of the atom. The electrons float about in a cloud. They're spinning around and moving around in the cloud around the atom, and it's mostly just empty space. For lack of a better analogy, think of the solar system as an atom for the moment, with the planets being like the electrons. If you look at the solar system as a whole, how much matter is there as opposed to empty space? At any given time, if you were to poke your finger in the solar system, if you were, you know, some being larger than the universe, you could poke your finger in the solar system, you'd likely hit space, emptiness. Unless you poke your finger where the sun is, which is where the bulk of the mass of the solar system is, and same thing with an atom in the nucleus. And in the nucleus, once you get past the hydrogen atom, which only has one proton, you start adding protons, two protons, three, four, five. But think about this. Protons with their positive charge are packed tightly next to each other. How do they not fly apart? And when they do fly apart, there's a great deal of energy released. We call that fission, atomic fission. What happens when you have an atomic bomb go off? And all of a sudden, the atoms are flying apart, and you get a massive explosion, don't you? And so they call this force that holds the protons next to each other the strong nuclear force, because it's strong enough to overcome the tendency of the protons to repel each other, and it only occupies the area of the nucleus of the atom. And I thought about that, and here in Hebrews chapter 1, Paul writes this, talking about Jesus Christ. He says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It goes on talking about Christ there and what he accomplished. But this phrase there in verse 3, upholding all things by the word of his power. Stop and think about that for a minute. God spoke everything into existence, and through his word, he continues to hold everything together. And when God ceases to hold it together, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, the heavens being on fire, all that. New heaven and new earth will be created, or God will create a new heaven and a new earth after this present earth, this present physical realm, and I believe it will be the spiritual realm as well, will melt and with a fervent heat. And I think that's because he stops upholding all things by the word of his power. When he does that, I think that's the strong nuclear force. I think that's how physicists call it, but it's God's word holding it together, according to the Bible. And when he stops holding it together, it's going to fly apart, and the elements certainly will melt with a fervent heat. And this is what happens when we fail to understand who God is, because the only way that you're going to be able to avoid that, as Peter said, look forward to the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, is you need to be righteous. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The only way you can be righteous, according to Romans chapter 3, is to have the righteousness of God himself put on you, so that when he looks at you, he doesn't see your righteousness, which is described by Isaiah as filthy rags. He sees instead his own righteousness on you, and he declares you to be just. He declares you to be righteous, and you'll be allowed to be in his presence. He will preserve and allow you into that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's our message. That's what we want people to be saved. We want people to be able to be in that new earth or in that new heaven. And they say, well, what happens to people who don't do that? Well, there's another place that'll be preserved through this, and that's a place called the Lake of Fire. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 that those that have rejected God will be in the Lake of Fire, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And this will even be during that new heaven and that new earth. We can talk about that another time a little more, but what I wanted to concentrate on, though, a little bit today is we see this rejection of God. We see this rejection of His Word, the very thing that the Bible says keeps everything together, God and His Word. And I wanted to share something with you here today, how we see this. When we look at human government and we look at what, we have in terms of our government in this country, it is based on a recognition of a couple of things. And we have these laid out for us in the Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, there's a recognition of God a number of times in the Declaration, and there's some great truths that have been laid down in the Declaration and then reflected in the Constitution when the Constitution was put together. And so we recognize that the Founding Fathers understood the necessity of God and recognition of God. In fact, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, John Witherspoon, said, "He is the best friend to American liberty, who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion, and who sets himself with the greatest firmness to bear down on profanity and immorality of every kind." We have a contrast to that today. You know, this past weekend was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 50th anniversary, and we talked about that a little bit last week, and our Vice President, Kamala Harris, was down in Tallahassee, Florida, addressing a pro-abortion group and lamenting the fact that Roe was overturned. And she had a few remarks to say, and she referred back to our Declaration of Independence. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to listen to a longer version of it first. We'll play that for you, and I want you to listen carefully to it. Then we're going to talk about a couple of things that she mentioned there and maybe some things she did not mention. We'll also listen to a shorter version in order to highlight the part of it in particular. But let's listen as Kamala Harris referred to the Declaration of Independence.
We collectively believe and know America is a promise. America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty. Not for some, but for all. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Be clear, these rights were not bestowed upon us. They belong to us as Americans.
Now, when she was speaking this, remember, and it's key, that she was talking to a group that was there to remember Roe v. Wade, not to be excited and thrilled that it had been overturned, but they were lamenting that it had been overturned. These were people, Planned Parenthood, Planned Predators, NARAL, people like that, people who are determined that a woman's right to choose is more important than an unborn child's right to live. And that brings us down to something that she was saying there. She was talking about a passage in the Declaration of Independence. And she was saying, we made a promise, that this promise was made to us by our founding fathers, and that we had been endowed as Americans, basically, with certain rights, liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And she said that this was not bestowed on us, but given to us as Americans. And let me read the passage that she was referring to. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Now let's listen to a shorter portion of that clip here again. And again, this is Kamala Harris on the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
"A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness."
Now, did you notice there's two things that she left out, two key things. We're endowed, the founding fathers recognized, by our Creator. They're endowed by their Creator. She left God completely out of the picture. Now, we were talking about, you know, the rejection of God earlier, and what happens when people reject God? They become gods in their own eyes. They fall prey to the very lie that the devil sold Eve on. Ye shall be as gods. And as a god, she doesn't want any competition. She left out the Creator, the God of the Bible, who is the one, not the American government, not the founding fathers, but it's our Creator who endowed upon us certain unalienable rights. She did say liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but you notice what she left out at the beginning of that? She left out life. That's not an accident. She left God out and she left life out. The Declaration of Independence says we're endowed by our Creator, it says, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life was listed number one because life is the greatest of these. And this is one of the reasons why abortion on demand, the way these people want it, this bloodlust that runs from the through the Democrat Party, they're just riddled with this bloodlust, this desire to kill unborn children, and if the truth be known, they'd like to kill newborns. And this bloodlust that they have, they cannot even read the idea that life is one of those fundamental unalienable rights. Unalienable rights means that they cannot be disputed, that they belong to us, they can't be taken away from us. And they're said to be self-evident. You know, a living child wants to live when it's born. It struggles to live. And in the process of aborting these children, even when they're in the womb, there are people, you know, many of you have seen the videos and know better than I do how that the unborn child within the womb will try to draw back and get away from the forceps, away from the needle, as they seek to tear the child apart or inject it with something that'll kill it. And it pushes away because it's struggling to live. And so the unalienable right that comes from God to life, that's why the Bible is so clear on what God thinks of those that strike at a human life. He says that you're created in the image of God in Genesis chapter 9. When someone kills somebody, he says they are to be executed. Why? Because they took the life of a human being that's created in the image of God. And, well, apparently the crowd there didn't mind that she left out life, that she left out God. But you know what? God is the source of life. He's the only source of life, not just physical life, but eternal life, spiritual life. And you can only have that through Christ. You can only have that by knowing your sins are forgiven and knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Do you know Christ is your Savior? If you've never investigated his claims, why don't you do that? Why don't you come out and visit us sometime, and we can talk about it at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. But thank you for listening. Stand up for life. Defend it. God does. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.